As part of their Civil Rights Oral History Project, the Historic New Orleans Collection is documenting the 1960 desegregation of New Orleans schools. Pam Forman Testro became part of that history when, as a white student, she decided to attend William France Elementary School with Ruby Bridges. She was the only other student in an otherwise empty school, which was surrounded by an angry crowd of white segregationists. In this edition of NOLA Life Stories, she remembers back to that harrowing and important experience.
All I can really remember, in a nutshell, was seeing this little black girl walk up the steps with these two big men, and all these people were going crazy and screaming and hollering and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know why. I didn't know what was wrong or anything. And even after it being explained to me, I still couldn't comprehend why everybody couldn't get along, because kids just aren't born to be prejudiced. I mean, that's just something that you're taught. My dad just was kind of like, well, as long as you want to go to school. He said, do you still want to go to school? And I said, well, yeah, I still want to go to school. And he said, well, as long as you want to go to school, I'll take you to school. And so they both agreed that that's, you know, and it really wasn't supposed to be any big deal.
Taking my child to school.
34-year-old Methodist minister Lloyd Forman was the first to crack that school boycott. He took his 5-year-old daughter Pam and, without federal protection, walked right through that same angry mob.
Well, it just kind of went crazy because we didn't have any protection at all. And so Daddy was just walking me down the street, and there were people screaming, and these old ladies and men, and they'd throw their kids in front of them, which I thought was really kind of crazy. And the police were trying to clear a path for us to get through. And but I was really never afraid of them as long as I was with Daddy, because he asked me if I was afraid, and I said, no, not as long as I'm with you. When I had recess, even though it was just me, I would go outside and play, and sometimes the policemen would play ball with me. They had those big old rubber balls and bounce them around and stuff. The only thing I saw Ruby, I can remember seeing a Ruby, was her going up the steps with the federal marshals. And then after that, I didn't see her. It's like you knew somebody else was there, and I knew she went into the school. I didn't understand why we couldn't play together. I mean, we were the only two kids in school, so I didn't understand why we couldn't play together. But even then, they kept us separate.
You can see from here some of the action occurring down there.
Daddy had to go ahead and, you know, he said, if we're going to continue this, then I have to have protection for my daughter. So then after that, the federal marshals started coming. But, like, we couldn't even go down the street or anywhere. And I can remember one time he wanted to go to his office to pick up mail or something. And the marshals were driving us. And I had to always be down on the floor of the back seat. I always had to be on the floor. And, well, they told him most of the time to lay down, too. And he would kind of lay down on top of me. But there were bomb threats. And we had to move out of the house. And we actually ended up going from minister to minister's house, because a lot of the hotels and stuff wouldn't take us. But then the violence and all just seemed like it went on forever and ever and ever. I'd just like my dad to be remembered for being a good Christian and just standing up for what he believed was the right thing to do. And he always called it the longest walk. But I don't believe that he ever, ever got the true credit and respect for what he did. He never wanted it. I would say he was definitely a leader in the civil rights movement, and I'm very proud of him for what he did.